So today we're going to be doing something totally different. We're going to be talking about a Netflix show that I watched a while back, like 2 years ago now, and it was really interesting, it was really fun for me to watch it, but it is also very full of marketing and business advice, and we are going to look at some of the scenes and scenarios in the movie and some of the advice you can take away from it. So if you love movies, if you love marketing, if you love business, then this podcast episode is for you. Hello and welcome to Marketing Your Wellness Business Podcast, where we talk about everything marketing, lead generation, copywriting, sales, and website development for your health and wellness business. So like I said in the intro, today is going to be quite different because we are going to be talking about one of my favorite Netflix shows, and we are going to be dissecting several business lessons that you can learn just from watching the show. So I haven't actually watched this in a while, like I said earlier. It has been a couple years at least. But when I did, I was really entertained. It was really interesting. You might be wondering what show I'm talking about right now. Well, the name of the show is Suits. So if you haven't watched it, here is a basic summary of what the show is about. The show is basically about day-to-day operations of a firm, a law firm, based in New York. So they go through how their lawyers win cases, internal politics between employees, the struggle for power, all that kind of stuff. That's basically what the show is about. Now, we'll be talking about certain scenes in the movie, some things that were said. I'll kind of explain how it can apply to you, to your life, to your business, to your marketing, and all of that. But for context, most of the scenes we'll be talking about happen between three people. The first of them is Harvey. Now, Harvey is like the hotshot lawyer in the firm. A little bit rude, a little bit arrogant, but he gets the job done, makes a lot of money for the firm. So the firm loves him, but a lot of his employees or co-workers don't really like him. Then second is Mike. Now, Mike is the associate lawyer under Harvey. So Harvey is sort of a mentor to Mike and just helping him. He just got into the profession and basically helping him figure out things. So that's Mike. Then the third is Rachel. Rachel is a paralegal who also works at the law firm. Her and Mike end up together at the end and they fell in love and all of that. But from the beginning, she was just a paralegal and Mike was just joining the firm and all of that. But so that those are the three people we're going to be talking about. Harvey, who is like the mentor. Mike, who is the mentee. Then Rachel, who is Mike's future wife or girlfriend, whatever. So without further ado, let's get into it. So the first lesson is that there is always a way. So in season one, there was a scene where they wanted to get someone to speak up in the courtroom, so to testify in court. And they had already spoken to this woman, she had agreed and all of that. And then some things happened and she decided she was not going to testify anymore in court. So Harvey, who is the mentor, remember, now tells Mike to fix the situation because Mike was the one that caused the problem in the first place. So Mike did all he could do, but he couldn't get her to come back and testify. So having met up with him, asked him, did you go back to the witness's house? Did you get her to testify again? Mike said, I tried. There's no way. Then Harvey said, there's always a way. It's not the most mind-blowing conversation ever, not the biggest tip that you've ever received, but I think it's simple but profound if we are able to really think about it. It's a simple statement, there's always a way, but if you live by that, you find that a lot of problems, both in business, both in marketing, both in life in general, tend to solve themselves, right? Once you have the mindset of there's always a way out of this, there's always a way to get what I want, maybe through a different path, but there is a way. Maybe through a different vendor, or through a different coach, or through a different social media platform, or through a different advertising campaign, but there is a way to hit my goals. If you have that mindset, and I find that it's very, very hard to fail. So as business owners, we're almost always doing something unconventional. It might not be big, it might be rather small, it might be medium, but we are usually in the minority of things. Most people are not business owners. Most people are not wired to just go out on their own and try something new. So there is a tendency for people to tell us everything wrong with our idea, maybe why it won't work. Basically, people transferring their fears and their anxiety, their insecurities onto us, right? Telling us why certain things would not work out or why certain things are a bad idea and things like that. But it's important to remember that there's always a way. Basically, like Harvey said, there's always a way. And I found this principle that Dan Kennedy talks about. He has a saying, and he says, nothing is impossible for the man who refuses to listen to logic. Nothing is impossible for the man who refuses to listen to logic. And I find that that's a very good way to go about life, especially as a business owner. They are constantly going to be facing problems. You're pretty much your whole business existence is about solving problems in some way, shape, or form. So it's very important to have that mindset of there is always a way. Something else that relates to this. Recently, I was listening to Arnold Schwarzenegger's documentary. I was watching his documentary on Netflix, and I was also listening to a podcast episode about him. And while he came from Austria to the United States, became very well known as a bodybuilder, he won a bunch of competitions. I think he won like maybe 9 during his career. And then once he was done with his bodybuilding career, he wanted to go into movies, wanted to go into acting. But he had a lot of problem transitioning into Hollywood, right, at that time. A lot of people doubted him. There were a lot of obstacles. For one, he had this thick accent that many producers didn't want him to star in the movies. He basically faced a lot of rejections. And at some point, he got an advice from someone in Hollywood. And she said, when people tell you no, just hear yes. And I think that relates a lot to kind of what we are talking about, that there's always a way. In anything we are doing, in anything you are doing, especially in your marketing, because again, marketing is all about solving problems. For the customer, yes, but also solving your own marketing problems, trying to figure out how to sell, trying to figure out how to reduce churn or increase conversions or whatever the case is, you are going to have to overcome some obstacles. So it's just a very, very good idea to have that mindset of there's always a way. And again, like Nelson Mandela said, everything is impossible until someone does it. So just remember, there's always a way. No matter what it is, there is always a way. So on to the second lesson. There was another conversation in the movie where Harvey, who is again the mentor in this case, was speaking to Mike, the mentee, and his assistants gave Mike a card and told him, Harvey told Mike to go and see his tailor, basically, his suit guy, and tell him that you want to get a suit, spend some money on suits. And Mike goes, what does it matter how much money I spend on suits? Then Harvey says, people respond to how we are dressed. So like it or not, this is what you have to do. Now, this is on the surface talking about clothing, talking about appearance and all of that. And yes, there's a part that's important in terms of how you dress, how you show up, things like that. And I'll talk about that a little bit. But there's also something deeper that is going on here, which I'll speak to in a few minutes. But let's talk about just the appearance. I know a lot of people say, don't judge a book by its cover. And I agree with that. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover. So you listening to this now, you shouldn't judge a book by its cover. You should try to give people a chance to learn a little bit more about them before making your decision. But generally speaking, right, people are going to judge you. So if you are the book in this context, then you might as well give yourself the best chance of success by ensuring your cover is really good, right? Because generally speaking, people are going to judge you before they even have the chance to speak to you. So you kind of need to make your appearance, if that applies to you, right? Your appearance, make it look as good as possible. But also, this also applies to every other thing. So if you sell products, what do your product images look like? If you have a site, what does it look like? If you have social media, what does it look like? If you have an email list, what does your writing look like? Not just physically now, but what does this sound like? So apart from the visual side of things, what the actual text, what is this saying? What is the content of the text? So you need to put your best foot forward in a lot of ways, especially when running an online business, because again, people are going to judge a book by its cover. We are judged based on how we are dressed, in this case, based on the quote. So it's important to to always dress in order to attract the highest level of respect and status you can. But much more than physical appearance, there's a deeper principle at play here. And I'm going to talk about that. So the underlying principle for this quote, or how I think about it, is people are going to judge you before you've had a chance to prove yourself. So people are going to judge you before you've had a chance to prove yourself. So physical appearance can help, but much more than that, you need to learn how to pre-sell yourself. So when I say pre-sell yourself, this is a principle that goes back to the Stone Age, to basically fundamentals of how we humans behave. And that is romantic relationships. So as a guy, women are way more interested in you when they know that other women are interested in you. It's kind of a weird scenario, but it's kind of that thing where you need experience to get a job, but you need a job to get experience, right? So women want you when they know other women want you. It's not something that I think is very conscious, but it just exists in nature, in humans. Now, it's the same thing in business. Customers want businesses that other customers want, right? So that's why you see that people give money to the rich, basically. If someone that is really struggling and poor asks for a donation for a particular cause, I mean, you might get some interest, but it won't be all that mind-blowing. But if someone already rich and famous and wealthy asks for a donation, you'd be surprised at the amount of people that are going to donate. Even people that are barely making rent would be donating to someone that is already very wealthy. That's just kind of how it works. Now, how can you use this human bias to your own advantage in this scenario that we're talking about? Basically, you need to be able to pre-sell yourself. That means before the customer ever gets to talk to you or to see you, they need to be able to have an impression of you that is very positive. So apart from how you look when you show up, how you talk when you show up, way before that, long before that, people should already have an opinion of you that is great, so that they are thinking in that light before they meet you. So this is one of the reasons why being on the news is very, very beneficial for many businesses, because people just automatically think, if this guy is good enough to be on the news, then he must know what he's doing. It's basically helping them have a good opinion of you before they ever meet you, which is what basically we are talking about. Remember, people respond to how they are dressed. So like it or not, you have to get a suit. Now, your own suit in this case is whatever you do that puts you out there in a good image, that makes you come across as an expert, as a celebrity, before your audience or before your customer ever gets to you. Now, one way I like to do this is I like writing emails. And I'm a big fan of writing emails as frequently as possible. If you can, do it daily. But if you can't do daily, as much as you can, 4 times a week, 5 times a week, you should be writing emails. Now, a good thing is you can convert a lot of these emails into blog posts and have them up on your blog. And this is something I learned from Ben Settle way back when, maybe like 5 years ago, when I was just getting to know him. And this is something he also does till this day. Your emails, the best of them, just upload them on your website. Now, when someone checks you out, they have a bunch of content they can go through, see if they like what you are saying, see if you are the kind of person they want for maybe their health and wellness or your whatever offer it is that you sell. And in that way, you are putting your best image forward before anybody eventually even gets to talk to you or to see you. So in a sense, you are buying a suit before you get to meet your prospect or your customer. So that's the second lesson. People are going to judge us by a suit. Look as attractive as you can. Look as capable as you can. Look as respectful as you can. And this doesn't necessarily mean in physical appearance. I mean in content, in your reputation in the industry. All of that works together for your good. Now, the third lesson is about humanizing your arguments. So there was a court case that Harvey, which is the mentor again, remember, and then Mike, which is the mentee, there was a court case they were working on, and Mike basically created the argument for the court case. So he had the idea and all of that, but it was Harvey, his mentor, who executed it. Now, at the end of the whole thing, Mike told Harvey how awesome the whole case was, basically how Harvey handled it in the court and all of that. And then Harvey said something. So I'm just going to read it out. He said, "It was your argument. I just framed it in a way that humanized the situation and brightened all of our afternoons. So again, it was your argument. I just framed it in a way that humanized the situation and brightened all of our afternoons. And that is the key to any kind of selling, humanizing the situation. A lot of people try to think that it might be the product that sells or the facts of the situation that sell. And while all of those are good, if you can't relate it on a human level to someone, then it's not just going to work. It's not just going to fly. So I once listened to a podcast episode, and I'm forgetting his name now. I'm forgetting. It was on Mike Senoff's podcast. Actually, Mike Senoff's audio recording. There was no podcast back then when he was doing this, but one of his audio recording, and a copywriter came on and said, there are three levels you can write at. If I remember exactly, there's more the logical level where everything is black and white. Basically, if you want to narrate someone dying of, say, diabetes, you can bring out facts and say 42% of Americans die of diabetes every year. It's not bad. It's a good start. It's important information, yes. But there's on another level, which is the emotional level, which you can say, I used to know a friend that was diagnosed with diabetes and so and so happened. And eventually she died at the age of 14 or 34, whatever the case is. Now, there's even a level deeper than that, which is the personal level, which is when you can relate the problem to them. So that's to your prospect or to your customer who is listening. So you can say, I used to have a friend that was 14 and was diagnosed with diabetes, yada, yada, yada. And then you can say, do you know that in your lifetime, at least two of your family members would be diagnosed with diabetes? Because one out of every three people are diagnosed with diabetes. Again, I'm just throwing all of this out there. I don't have the actual statistics. But that's a way to make it personalized to who you're speaking to. That's a way to humanize your argument. Remember what I said? It was your argument. I just framed it in a way that humanized the situation and brightened all of our afternoons. And humanizing situations, humanizing your argument, humanizing your sales points, your marketing points, is a very, very good way to get people to respond to you however you want them to respond. You can't logic your way into making someone do something. You can't just give them cold, hard, raw facts and expect them to just be motivated to buy or to motivated to take whatever action you want them to take. You kind of have to empathize with them. You have to appeal to their emotions. You have to make them see that you understand the situation and you are not just someone trying to sell them something. You have to show them your human side also. So that's the long and short of it, basically. Humanizing your arguments is going to convert prospects a lot more than just giving them logic and facts. That's why stories are actually very good, because stories present your arguments in a human way. It helps you to see kind of how whatever situation it is that your product solves, how it applies to everyday humans just like them, and what they can do to prevent it. So this can successfully be applied in every area of your marketing. So from your stories, to your headlines, to your emails, to even your product name, the way you name your products can be a way to tap into the human side of things, tap into the emotional side of things. So that's the third point, humanize your arguments. Now onto the fourth point. There was a part in the show where Mike, which is the mentee, was talking to Harvey. And basically, Mike was meant to watch somebody, but the person was meant to go to jail. Now, she was crying, talking, and all of that. Then Mike went to get her water. And before he came back, she had run away. So Mike had an argument with his mentor now, who is Harvey. And basically, Mike was saying that he was just trying to help out the woman and all of that. But having now said something that it's really important that you can apply to your own business. And he said, just because a pretty girl tells you a story doesn't mean it's true. So now in the context of the movie, he was saying just because the girl that was meant to go to jail was telling Mike something and acting all emotional doesn't mean the story is true. But in our own context, I think it's very, very important to understand that people are not exactly truthful. Now, they might not intend to lie, but usually our biases get the best of us. But generally in life, in business, there are a lot of sweet talkers, trying to sell you a product, trying to sell you a service, trying to sell you an agenda, trying to sell you a mindset. And I think a little skepticism is very important. You need to go into everything with your eyes open. And I've forgotten who said it, but there's a saying that never get into anything you can't easily get out of. And I think it's very, very important. If you are going to do any sort of business or anything, basically, just protect yourself. Get proper legal counsel if you need to. But again, just because a pretty girl tells you a story doesn't mean it's true. So just generally in life, it's always important to be a little skeptical about what people tell you. A little skeptical about what the government tells you. A little skeptical about even people trying to sell you stuff. What your favorite guru says. You need to go into everything with your eyes open. But on the other side of things, you know, you also need to be skeptical about what your customers tell you. Because again, just because a pretty girl says something doesn't mean it's true. That's why I'm not a big fan of surveys and questionnaires and things like that. Because they can sometimes give you a very wrong information of what's going on. So there's a story I like to tell. I wrote this in an email a while back. And the title of the email was, "Everybody Lies Online, Including You." And in that email, I narrated a story I once heard about a company, I think they sell beer, and they surveyed their lists to ask them, what kind of beer do you guys prefer the most? And virtually everybody said they loved the premium beer compared to the regular beer. The only problem now is that most of their customers bought the regular beer. So they were a little confused as to why did people say they prefer the premium beer, but they were only buying the regular beer. And that's something that a lot of us in business might struggle with. And the issue is that people say things that they think you want to hear and not necessarily things that are authentic to them. So asking your customer questions and trying to get feedback from your customer can be a double-edged sword in some cases, because they can tell you what they think sounds nice or what they think they should say, but not really the truth, not really the core of how they feel. And as a business owner, as a marketer, all of your decisions are based on what your customer says. So it's very, very important to get the right decision. Now, there are a couple of ways to get around this kind of human bias. The first and most important way, I think, is getting people to pay for stuff. So especially when you're doing product research and you're trying to find out what it is to sell, maybe you don't have your offer yet done. If you are asking your customers, they might tell you, yeah, I want to learn how to do this and that. Maybe I want to learn how to lose weight and all of that. But if you get them to pay for it, then they've truly proven that that is what they want. Because people hardly spend their money on things they don't truly want. So people can say one thing, but what they'll spend their money on is another thing. So if you can get them to pre-order or buy upfront ahead of when the program is going to be out or when your training is going to be out, whatever the case, then that's a good way to know that what they are telling you is actually the truth. But another way to find out like what your market thinks without asking them directly is just to research. Go on forums, go on chat rooms. I don't know if this still exists, but forums online, Reddit is a good one. Quora is another good one. Basically, where people are discussing about their lives, and preferably where it's anonymous, because whenever it's anonymous, they tend to be a little bit more free and more open. So if you can go to forums like that and see what they are talking about, do your research, and compare it to what your market is telling you. Are they moving in the same direction? Is what that person telling you a little bit different from what your research says? They might need to be a little bit more skeptical. But at the end of the day, just because a pretty girl tells you a story, it doesn't mean it's true. And that is the fourth and last lesson we are going to be talking about in this podcast episode. So again, just a recap of what we spoke about. The first is, there's always a way. So whatever you do, your marketing, a way to make sales, a way to increase your opens, a way to get more customers, a way to do whatever, there's always a way. Second thing, people respond to how we are dressed. So you need to put your best foot forward in whatever it is you do, especially business-wise. For your clients, you need to put your content forward, put a projection of you forward, let your website display or portray your image in the best way it can, and all of that. Then we spoke about humanizing an argument. So when you're trying to sell, always ensure you're tapping into emotions, you're tapping into the human part of our being, and all of that. Then lastly, just because a pretty girl tells you something doesn't mean it's true. And that brings us to the end of this podcast episode. So if you liked kind of the lessons that we learned today from the Netflix show Suits, then it might be nice for you to actually go and watch the show by yourself. So you can just have a little getaway for yourself and just take some time off, watch the show. You might find it very interesting. But if not, you can still enjoy your time off. Then that being said, if you run any type of business online, then I have a gift that can help you make more sales with your email marketing. If you go to iconmedia.net and you sign up for my email list, you get a free guide that is called Your Email List Is Your Wife. Now, this guide goes into 15 ways you can make maximum profits from your email list. So how do you sell in a way that makes people want to respond? What are the lessons you need to know that can improve your conversion rate with emails? How do you ensure that you get the right kind of people on your list? All those kind of things, basically. The guide goes into 15 ways to get maximum results from your email list. So you need to go to my website, iconmedia.net. That's iconmedia.net. Sign up for my email list and you'll be sent the free guide as a gift. So if that interests you, check it out and I'll catch you in the next podcast episode.